Now, it's 12:05. Normally, we have a lunchtime social debate, and today, I'm not quite sure how this is going to pan out, because Ian Stevens is coming in. Ian Stevens is renowned for being late, because he's always, you know, busy doing this, that and the other.
Yeah.
So, I don't know whether he's going to be in for the last 20 minutes. He may turn up in 5 minutes.
So, the time is random.
He's obviously been sidetracked a little bit. So, obviously, we're just going to fill a bit of time. We could just play a little bit of music and have a chat. Last week, we did the lunchtime social debate, which I found absolutely fascinating. We did it with Josh.
Irrational Fears.
Irrational Fears. Yeah. And we were going to do something tomorrow, but Jonathan Bacon is coming in tomorrow. But he's another one that turns out kind of late sometimes, because he's like really, really... They are really, really busy.
Well, that's the cancer, isn't it? They've got loads to do and et cetera, haven't they?
Well, they have, but, you know, if they're not coming... I mean, we live in a world where we've got technology. You can always send a text to say, oh, sorry, I can't come in at this moment, but I will be with you in the next 20 minutes. So it's going to be interesting. By the way, tomorrow we were going to do that lunchtime social debate, and we were going to do something completely different, weren't we, with Josh. It was habits that you don't like. People's habits you don't like. Because we were discussing, I said something last week that I really hate hearing other people's crunch.
Yeah,
when they're
eating
crisps.
Yeah,
So we're gonna do that, but it's like almost a plan B, because Jonathan hopefully will come in tomorrow, and we'll talk about things. And but if not, we'll go with plan A, which was, you know, things that, you know, that you get irritated by. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow. Today we're talking about Ian Stevens. Ian Stevens, as you know, was the council leader.
Yeah.
He then stood aside because he wanted to be the
independent MP. Yeah, independent, didn't he?
He only got 3,000 votes, which I was disappointed for him, because he lost his deposit, so it cost him to stand. He was the only one out of six that did. But since then... lots of things have happened. Ian has been incredibly busy, and he's done an awful lot of he's had an awful lot of meetings with people up country.
Oh, good.
And you know, trying to put funding and things in place, which is great news. But he's just questioning what everybody else is doing. You know, whatever, you know, Ian is doing that.
Well,
what about
our
MP?
Yeah, our MP. What has he done?
Well, I've sent him a message to say, you know, can you come in and have a look at Vectis Radio now, because we're doing this, that and the other. I mean, we're talking about the 4Ps course.
Yeah.
Which you were a part of.
Yeah.
You came in November time.
I was just saying that to John a minute ago. It was September, I think. Yeah, because it was 10 weeks, wasn't it? Because I only came in weekly on a Wednesday, wasn't it?
Monday and Wednesday. No. Was it Tuesday and Wednesday?
No, I only did one day a week.
Was it one day a week, was it?
Yeah, it was one day a week, and then we changed it up to 2 days, and then it became 4 days on the pre-app, and now it's a 4 to 5 day thing now, isn't it, on a full-on apprenticeship scheme. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was. It was in September up to November. We had a little break during Christmas... And in February, I started coming back in, and then pre-app, and now it's...
Yeah. So I mean, this is incredible, because this is what the whole thing, this is what the 4Ps was all set up for.
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful thing to be able to watch youngsters come in, build confidence and so on, and you are a prime example of that.
Yeah.
And you came in, and you had Dame Shirley in tears about 6 weeks ago, and I had a lump in my throat, I must admit, when you come in through the door and you said... You know, you said something along the lines of, I didn't have a purpose, but now I do.
Yeah.
And that's a lovely thing, and that's us doing our job.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just nice to hear, and it's nice to see it. Now, we've got a guy that has been with us for the last 8-9 weeks, and his name is Matt Davis.
Yeah, Matt.
Now, he has cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know a whole lot about cerebral palsy, and I still don't know.
Yeah.
But what I've found is amazing. Very recently, I've done an audio book by a comedian called Francesca Martinez.
Yeah.
Who's now my hero, because she's just wonderful. It's just something. She has cerebral palsy, and she has... Obviously, it hits people in different ways.
Yeah.
She can walk, she can talk, just like Matt, but obviously her communication skills are slightly better than Matt's.
Yeah.
And she's a stand-up comedian, She's funny. Mm. But I've just finished reading her story, and the story is pretty much how she overcame prejudices and so on and so forth from a very early age.
Yeah.
And yet she was funny, she was bright, she was lovely. And, you know, it's just an incredible story she's got. So anybody out there that's feeling a bit grumpy and a bit down, have a read, have a listen. You know, you can either do the audiobook, which I think it gives it a little bit more because of, you can obviously hear some kind of speech impediment, if you like, but I understood every word that she was talking about. I thought it was absolutely wonderful, the book, so yeah. I can highly recommend it. But obviously one of the things that she makes clear is, you know, how to communicate and don't patronise, and you're left there in a pretty difficult position. You know, if I say this, is that going to upset you? If I say this, is this going to patronise you? And so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So I'm very aware now that we've got this young man that's working for us, and over the last couple of weeks, he's amazed me no end. He's doing a blog.
Yeah.
And today...
He's done a promo
and he's voiced it.
Yeah, he's voiced it all by himself.
And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I really do. Have I got it? Have I got access to it this size?
I think you've got access to it. Yeah, you should do. It's in audio and it should be finished. It should just be called Matt's Promo Finish.
Matt's Promo Finished.
Yeah.
Let's go on
modified. If you go on date modified on the little tab line there.
And
it'll be straight up at the top.
Because you've only just put it in there, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I just refresh, it will be there. Matt's Promo Finished. You're absolutely right. Okay, so if I call this up now, I'm going to play this for the first time ever. Now, this is Matt who... as I think is improved, his speech has improved, his communication skills have improved.
Yeah.
And so this is Matt, okay?
Hello, DJ, my David. I'm on the 4 pizzas. I'd say DJ deal out for my brother on the 4 pizza website on
So what Matt's saying there is he's doing a blog. Hi, I'm Matt Davis. I'm doing a blog on the 4P's course, and it's www.vectisradio.com, and you can go to the 4P's.
Don't forget the Innit Bruv there as well.
Innit Bruv.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Innit Bruv.
Yeah.
And that brings it brings a lump to my throat, and it makes me realise that's just what this course is all about.
Well, he has improved. He was really just inconfident. He didn't speak at all, did he? He mumbled a lot, but now he's clear. Like, obviously, some of that you can't fully understand first time you ever hear it, but if you've got the piece of paper in front of you which you're reading off of, or you're just reading it as you're listening to it, you can hear what he's trying to say. And I think he's done really well.
And he's so witty as well, and he's funny. He makes us laugh every week.
Yeah.
And he is. He's
Jenga as well.
He's a charming lad.
Yeah.
He really is. But my dream is to get him on the show at some point in the near future. And we're going to build up to that. But you almost feel like you've got to be really careful, because some people might see this as, I don't know, when you're kind of... There was a moment in the book with Francesca Martinez where she was having problems with her feet. And, you know, she could walk, she could talk.
Yeah.
And she could communicate. No problems whatsoever. She was just like anyone else. It's just that she was, in her terms, a bit wobbly.
Yeah.
And it was, she used this term all the way through, I'm a bit wobbly, because she didn't like the label that she was given.
Yeah.
And I just think that was a wonderful breakthrough. But she was saying she went to the doctor and about her feet. She had a problem with her foot, a bad problem with her ankle.
Yeah.
And the doctor asked Mum what was the matter, and then asked Mum if she could get, can she take her shoe off? Can she take her sock off and her shoe? And in the end, Mum said, well, why don't you ask her?
Yeah.
Why don't you ask her?
So she can speak.
It opened my eyes, and I think that if we were to do more things like what we're doing now, we would become more aware of how we are with other people. And the name of the book is What's Normal Anyway?
Yeah.
Well, it's not. There was another word in it, but it was a swear word.
Oh, right.
What the is normal anyway?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here until 1 o'clock, and hopefully Ian Stevens will arrive. I did say that, you know, 12 till 1 on Tuesday. He phoned me on my birthday last week, on Thursday.
Did he say happy birthday?
No, he didn't. He was completely unaware of it. And I wasn't going to say anything, because he was just saying he's up in Coventry, I think, at the moment, trying to get some funding for this, trying to get some funding for that for the Isle of Wight.
And he's not even the MP.
But, you know, I'm sure Andrew is working hard.
He'll come up with something amazing. He usually does. It just takes time to prepare, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're just being nice now. So we're going to be here until 1 o'clock, just hopefully filling. But should I text him?
I'd say text him. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I was going to say about obviously people with cerebral palsy or people with disabilities and you know, special needs and such. I think it's the same as I don't want to say coloured people because that makes it sound bad, but, you know, that type of thing, that discrimination idea. I think what people get wrong is when they say to someone, oh, that person's got disabilities, I think that they'll prefer to be called special needs and not to be outclassed, if you know what I'm saying.
Or would they?
I don't think they do. I mean, with Azana Geyser, who was, obviously, he was part of the 4Ps, and he was... I don't want to say the word because that's the feeling of it. It's that you can't say it because you feel like you're going to say something wrong, but you're not saying anything wrong. You're just stating what's there. I think the past and history and such has just made that happen. You know, he doesn't mind being called black,
right?
But saying that, a lot of people think that's offensive.
Mm.
I don't think it is offensive, and nor does he. He didn't mind that he is that. That's what I am. And I don't find that discriminating.
Okay.
But I don't know what it is, but it always makes me think, because it's a touchy subject. You can't call certain people certain things because they don't like it, but others don't mind. And it's just coming under that big category of what's right and what's wrong.
It's fascinating. Let me just say, and don't feel bad about because I think at the end of the day, it was said completely innocently.
Yeah.
That the term coloured is not a good term to use.
Yeah, coloured isn't a good term, but I don't know what to, you know, it's that thing of what's right to say and what's wrong to say.
Yeah.
So,
but by having discussions like this, it makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it?
It's awareness as well.
It is. Total.
I think when you're going to... I don't know. It's a real touchy subject, and it's... You can have a big list here of all the bits and bobs that have happened over history and that, and what's right and what's wrong to call someone or some...
Yeah, like he's here.
No.
He's here. We'll carry on this conversation at a later date, because it's a fascinating and interesting topic of debate. And I think by discussing it, we make people aware, and maybe we should get Matt in, maybe we should get Azana back in, just to sort of make people more aware of, you know, okay, using these terms may be upsetting for some people. You use the term coloured. You didn't mean any harm by it.
No, not in an offensive way.
It's almost like just re-educating people. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and Ian Stevens is here, and we're going to chat more with Ian. So stick around.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Key Arts is one of 13 organisations awarded funding by the Isle of Wight Council to deliver youth provision. Key Arts is in partnership with Vectus Radio and is offering young people between the ages of 11 and 19 years, up to 25 years with additional needs, a wide variety of creative art activities, as well as the opportunity to learn about radio. Make sure to check out Key Arts' website for more information at www.keyarts.org. And don't forget to check out Vectus Radio's 4P course website as well, www.4ps.org.uk.
Hello there, I'm Andy from Hamilton's Fine Foods, and I'd like to introduce you to some of the new things that are happening in Hamilton's. Our newest venture is our new shop in Dodner Industrial Estate, where we have available hot sausage rolls, hot coffee, hot pies, and all sorts of other things for your lunch. We're open from 10 till 4 daily. If you're working in and around Dodner Industrial Estate, please call in.
Hamilton's Fine Foods. You'll find them on Daish Way and Pyle Street in Newport, also in Wootton and Cowes too.
Whiteside, here's how it works. You need glasses, Visit an optician, then bring your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ryde. White Sight is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses, stockists of Dior, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Ban and many more. They are an independent retailer, so you can shop locally for first-class service and great glasses. You'll be spoilt for choice. Either visit them in Cross Street Ryde or check out www.whitesight.co.uk.
My name's Tony Bray. Several years ago, I read Maggie Curry's book, What You Believe Creates Your Reality. It was a turning point for me, and since then, I've achieved things I thought I would never be able to achieve. I've lost several stone in weight. I've managed to swim across the Solent twice. I've raised £16,000 for motor neuron disease. I've become the chairman of the association on the Isle of Wight, and all this started by just reading Maggie's book. I recommend you do so, and I recommend you speak to Maggie, because she will make a positive difference to your life. I totally guarantee it.
Contact me today on 01983 754666 or email hello at maggiecurry.co.uk and let's start your life transformation.
Brett Buzz presents
the local music show.
3 hours of local music
from 7 till 10 p.m.
every Sunday.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Okay, here we are then. It's a Tuesday and we've got Ian Stevens in. You're always late, Ian.
Got an excuse? Always busy. Always busy.
Always busy, which Absolutely. Is great. This is how it should be and how we want you to be. Now, obviously, you've had a month since the general election. Gutted that, you didn't get elected for one. But obviously, you're not one for sitting around and moping. You've got on with it. So what have you been doing in the last month?
In the last month, I've been involved, obviously, in local issues and in ward issues and also in the Isle of Wight Council issues. Which you can, fill in and ask anything. I mean, I don't want to rabbit on about the Isle of Wight Council and various issues, but we have got concerns about buses, about East Cows, about the PFI, 101 things that are emanating from dealings with the Isle of Wight Council. But we've also got things on the national stage, which I've been involved with, which is Sport England. Last week before, I brought the chief executive from Sport England to the Isle of Wight for a meeting I should have had in London. But with these things, what I try to do, as I've always said to you, Ian, is promote the Isle of Wight and promote the Isle of Wight facilities and what we're doing down here. Sport England have put money in the past into facilities on the island, from changing rooms to running tracks, etc. Ryde Arena was a big public concern a few months ago. People were down there having their photographs taken. I didn't go down there and have my photograph taken, and I don't seek that type of publicity. But I saw Nick Bittell, the chief exec from Sport England, in County Hall and took him down with Lee Matthews, took him down to the Ryde Arena, so as that Ian Jenkins and his staff could show him the plight of what we've got down there, what we've inherited from Planet Ice, and what we're trying to do as a local community to keep skating alive and indeed a venue alive on this island. So I think that shows you one of the elements I've been dealing with. So Nick came down with one of his staff, and they've gone away and made various notes, and they're going to come back with possibly hope and hopefully what they can do to help support us.
Which going back to the sport guy, I mean, that probably worked out better. Rather than you go up to London, them coming down here, they can actually see it for themselves, can't they?
Absolutely.
Does that make it easier for you to sell?
It does, it does. I mean, don't forget, we've got archives and records up at Fairlie Road, and really we've been threatened to have them taken away. Now, I've got Jeff James, the chief lead on archives in England. I've got a meeting with Jeff coming up shortly, and I'm hopeful that he's coming to the island so that we can actually sort out what we're going to do with the records, which have been threatened to be taken away from us from time to time and taken centrally to Kew. Well, I met with Jeff in London on one of my four meetings of that day, and he actually brought up the subject of the record, so I'm trying now to actually say, come on down, take the heat off us. We know what we want to try and do with the records department as an Isle of Wight council, with the responsibility for records for our people on this island, and we think we've got a way forward that's going to be acceptable to National Archives and indeed to the people of the island.
Do you know what, Ian? I mean, just in a couple of minutes there, you've convinced me that you've been really busy in the last couple of weeks. You haven't let the dust settle. You just got on with it, which is great news. And one of my fears was that when we had the general election, that somebody would be elected that didn't really want the job. And you almost see some of the people, and I don't want to name names, but they would know who they are because they know what they've done in the last 4 weeks. You know, since not being elected, they probably haven't done those things that you've done, and it does beg the question, you know, voting for someone else. Okay, Andrew Turner got voted in, and I dare say that he hasn't done as much as you on a daily basis for the Isle of Wight, which kind of makes me think, and I'm sad about it, that we've elected the wrong person, because I know you, and I know I'm a great supporter of you, and I think the five people that were up against you, they all did great things, they all did good things, but when it comes down to it, what have they done since? Licked their wounds, maybe? Counted the blessings that they didn't get voted in? Sad that they didn't get the job worth £75,000? It just goes to show, and it just highlights the fact that you were so genuine, and you are genuine about the Isle of Wight. There you are, you've been kicked in the teeth, it's cost you money, and there you are bouncing back, doing great things for the Isle of Wight still. So credit to you.
Well, thank you, Ian. As I say, I'm absolutely pleased that you've said that, because it has cost me money, but I never asked for anyone to sort me out with finance or what have you. What I would say is that the big thing from my point of view is I'm an independent, and if I can do it as an independent, I've heard a lot about national parties, I've heard a lot of this, and it's hype. It's hype, because quite honestly, those individuals that stood against me were saying what they were going to do, and would you believe they all sounded like independents to me, because they weren't going to obey the whip, they weren't going to do this, they weren't going to do that. I'll tell you, it beggars belief. Why didn't they stand as independent whatever's? They wouldn't, and they didn't, because they were put up by their political masters. That's fine. I'm put up by myself, paid for by myself, even put my manifesto together by myself. And then they shot holes in that. Hey, hold on. I didn't really see too much of a personal manifesto other than Ian McKee's. Mm. To be quite honest, I didn't see anyone else saying what they were going to do personally. I wanted to save the Isle of Wight. The planet would come next for me. Now, I know that I've had people saying they want to save the planet. We all want to save the planet, but don't you think that the initial thing is to save the Isle of Wight, give hope and aspiration to our young, and fulfil their dreams with an apprenticeship or training or the correct level of education and good quality employment, which takes them forward in life? That's what I want, and care for the elderly. I was the one that said that we lost £1.2 billion worth of funding from central government when central government were very, very pleased to say they were going to put another £1 billion into the NHS. Where did it come from? It wasn't new money. It was the money that they took from social care. Mm-hmm. And you've heard since, social care is on the rocks, and it'll continue. Wait for early July when we get another mini-budget.
Okay, well, see, that's a concern as well, isn't it? I mean, do you know what really, really concerns me at the moment? Maybe you do me a favour and take a message back to County Hall to, 40 councillors, because I think I speak for a lot of people when I say, look, we're fed up with all the political stuff. We're all fed up with the political backbiting and teams sticking together and putting the knife in others because they don't wear the same colour shirt. How about we just get on and work together and do the job without all the bitchiness? Because I think now is the time we have some kind of stability. I've seen some emails come round from a guy called Chris Matthews. Is it Chris Matthews? Is it Chris Whitehouse?
Chris Whitehouse.
Chris Whitehouse. And it's having a bit of a go at people. It's having a bit of a dig at the vote that was carried out a couple of weeks ago. Jonathan Bacon was re-elected as the council leader, and there's a vote of no confidence that is supposedly going to go the next meeting.
Oh, is it?
Who's putting that forward? I don't know, but
Is it Councillor Whitehouse?
This is an email from Councillor Whitehouse, and there are a couple of other people that were named, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, let's make this absolutely abundantly clear. At the meeting that you had a couple of weeks ago when Jonathan was re-elected, Dave Stewart was offered what do they call him?
Chair of Scrutiny.
He was nominated. And he refused the nomination. Now, I look at that and think, well, hang on a minute, that's your fault. If you haven't got the courage and you're not brave enough to put your hat into the arena, or there's the other way of looking at it and thinking, no, hang on a minute, Jonathan's doing a really good job, I shall refrain from this time. Don't then 3 weeks later start muddying the waters with, well, I wish we hadn't have done that. Let's just get on with it now. We've elected a leader. What we need is stability. We need some kind of stability now, and it's really, really vital that we stick together. Otherwise, I look in through the window and think we've got 40 elected councillors that have been bickering and bitching for the last couple of years, and it's still continuing. And I do look at it and I think, stop the point scoring, stop the one-upmanship, just get together and get the job done, because that's what we need you to do. And let's also, let's also remember that it's not the council that are making the cutbacks. It's the government that are making the cutbacks and making your job a little bit more difficult. So let's make that absolutely clear so people actually know. I mean, the message is simple. Ordinary bloke off the street says, is there any chance that you guys can get on? Is there any chance that you guys can get together, stop trying to score points, stop trying to remove the other, and get on with the job? Which is what you're doing.
Well, I've done that, and people, you saw some of the press cuttings that certain disaffected members and some of them independents were on about with regard to my leadership. I'll tell you what, Ian, I didn't go out. I didn't criticise the previous administration, the previous Conservative administration. I didn't go down that route. We got on and did the job. We did the job. We removed some of the and said cheerio to some of the top paid executives, if you remember at that time, some of the directors. We've changed some of the format with regard to the media and the amount of money that was spent on media at that time. We've put more money into children's social care. The administration that I headed had about 900 unopened cases of cases of concern for children. Now, hold on. We got on and tackled the job. We didn't blame anyone. We realised what we had to do, and we did the job. That's what this island needs. It doesn't want a lot of bickering. It certainly doesn't want someone who's turning up to actually put another vote of no confidence in 2 weeks after. Give the leader a chance and let him get on with the job. And let him get on, and he's a very capable man. Let him get on and do it, as I did. And you can have your little rant and your little say. That's also fine. It's a free country. That's why we've got democracy and free speech. But be open, be honest.
Mm.
And make sure that when you put your cross against something a few weeks ago, that you knew that you were voting for more austerity, you knew that you were voting for a man who actually said, cut your cloth accordingly to the Isle of Wight Council. And now we've got people who didn't pick up on that, didn't say anything at the election, and you note that I didn't say anything that was negative about Andrew Turner. I steered clear away from that. I didn't run the others down. I was too old, according to a certain lady that stood. No, I'm not too old, and I'll probably outrun her even today. What I'm going to say is, as far as I'm concerned, we have got pressing times. People are now moaning about the bus services. And certain people are actually saying we should change the government policy. And there they are. They stood there the other week. They didn't even know the government's policy. They didn't even address that, and that is why I stood. There was no comprehension of what pressures that this island and the local authority and indeed the community and business are under. And that just goes to prove all the hot steam that's coming out now, no one understood. And that is why I stood, because I'm an honest guy. Mm. And I did understand the situation.
So you've been doing, you know, quite a few things between now and, you know, the election just gone. You haven't let the dust settle. Other people don't seem to be doing a massive amount. And I'm not that in that. I'm not talking about Andrew Turner. Andrew Turner's been re-elected. I don't know what he's done. But other people, I mean, Ian McKee, not really heard much a great deal of. Vix Lowthian seems like she's taken a bit of a break. So I'm just questioning those people. And I'm not having a dig. What I am saying is that if you really cared so much about the Isle of Wight that you wanted to get yourself elected, it doesn't stop now. Get yourself elected as a councillor. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that will happen, because I think Vix has got a lot to offer as a councillor. But it's just a little bit sad. And as I say, all I want to see, and all most people want to see, is the council get on with it and stop all the bickering, stop all the nastiness. There's no need for it. You've been voted in, you've got to work together, you've got two more years, get on with it. And, you know, the vote of no confidence with the email that came through, I looked at this over the weekend and thought, why now? It's 3 weeks, like you say, it's 3 weeks since you got voted, you know, since Jonathan was re-elected. You know, and the Conservative chap, Dave Stewart, said, I don't want the nomination. He turned the nomination down. So let's really just get on with it. What's the biggest, you know, task? What's the biggest task ahead of you in the near future?
In the near future, the biggest task is obviously the apprenticeship and the unemployment of this island. I've always said that business has got to drive us out of a mini recession, or the big recession, into what we are at the moment. The other side of the water, as I've always said, and don't you ever forget that assisted area status for all the island. Some of it went into Portsmouth Dockyard, and the other bit went into HMS Daedalus. And I was in a meeting in Portcullis House with the MPs from that side of the water, and indeed Michael Fallon, who was Minister of Portsmouth. And that's when we lost it. And our MP of the time, who has since been re-elected, didn't show and hasn't even apologised or said where he was to this day. That's the situation there. The big thing is for me is to try and drive, more links with business, more links with education and apprenticeship schemes, and indeed the universities. We need an island campus for a university. I think that the most, let's put it this way, the one that might well be most affable and reasonable to come forward and more interested in it might be Portsmouth, but that's to be in the balance, you know. But we need to try and drive our education standards and attainment upwards. Jonathan Bacon, leader of the council, is doing a fantastic job at that. Richard Priest started the ball rolling. Now, you know, this sort of thing of having niggles at people is not the way forward. Richard and myself had our words, but I can assure you that there is no animosity there, and I can assure you that when people are coming forward to represent the community, they will get all the assistance, all the information that I've got if they need to. And if Vix is going to stand as a member for the Isle of Wight Council, good for her. She will suddenly start to realise that you can't just go out and spend and say you're going to balance the books on a national level when you're actually creaking and falling away at a local level, because the rate support grant you've got is no longer, maintaining what it should maintain. And there's no good shouting about legislation for bus services and what Margaret Thatcher's government did, because you've got to convince the majority of MPs to bring that forward and change it. And if you're one Green Party member in Parliament, you're a lone voice, as I would have been as an independent, but I think I would have probably had a little bit more experience in getting round things.
How hard is it? I know it's a stupid question because it's incredibly hard, but how hard is it that you have to, I mean, yes, you've been told you've got to cut your cloth accordingly. Yeah, I think we're all doing that in our own little lives at some point, but how hard is it to balance the books but also remembering that these aren't the figures. It's not like you're saying, well, we need this, can we have this? No, this is a case of the government saying to you, this is how much you're getting, now you have to go and balance the books. How difficult it is it?
It's difficult. It has been difficult. What people don't realise, and no one really was saying it too much. I think Stuart alluded to it from time to time, but no one said that we were losing 40 to 44% over the last term of Parliament in our grants. You take that out of anyone that's trying to run a business, and I look at the Isle of Wight Council as a multi-million-pound business. You lose 44% of what you've got, you're on your uppers. You are on your uppers, because you cut your cloth if you've got it. If you haven't got any cloth, you've got nothing else to cut. I've tried in the almost 2 years that I was leader to bring forward money earners for the Isle of Wight Council, because that's the one way that we can get out of it. David Goodall alluded to it, but David had Eastleigh Airport, Southampton Airport, on his doorstep, and he sat in the M3 corridor there. So to be quite candid, Eastleigh is a damn sight bigger and better position than we are on this island, with, as I said, severance by sea, no island deal. The MP has asked, since I mentioned an island deal, what is the island deal? Well, the island deal is what you make it. The island deal is actually going out and asking for an allowance or more money to actually support our health service, to support our elderly people, to support our young. Why don't we start to look at the amount of money that the Isle of Wight schools get for placement per pupil, and look at what, if you like, inner cities get, and look at the strategic needs assessment, and see what number of wards we've got, and also the population, and how we can actually claim better and put forward a better evidence base than we have done in the past. Now, if someone, instead of writing comment on the leader of the Isle of Wight Council, actually took his coat off, rolled his sleeves up, and actually tackled that, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Oh, that's what we're asking for here.
Sick of the
squabbling and the fighting and the arguing. You know, if they put as much effort into what they should be doing, you know, we could move forward. But all the time we're hampering ourselves by keep digging and keep changing and keep wanting to change personnel. No, we voted them in. Let's let them get on with it. It's a bit like now the government. Yes, we've got this government now. Yep, we've got it. We've got to get on with it. There's no good. We've elected our MP. There's no good having a go at him. Let's give him a list of jobs to do. I'm sure you've got plenty of jobs for him to do. But I just want to clarify the island status thing. We only got island status for half of the island.
That's correct.
Is there a plan in place to go for the other half, the complete island?
I'm trying to sort that through along with Shirley Smart and co. Yeah, we want to get that moving. We also, but there's only so there's a period of time that you can move for that. The same with you know, reclassification of your nuts agreement, which is the it's a formula that you get for grant funding, etc., and where we sit in Europe. Now, I'm one to stay in Europe, and I'll be quite honest about this at the moment, Ian. We're in Europe at this moment in time. Let's make the best of that deal. Let the leader of our nation's central government deal with what he's got to deal with. But if we're in Europe, and if we're paying British money and taxes into Europe, let's see what we can claw back for the Isle of Wight. And that's why I'd slightly disagreed and totally disagreed with UKIP, because. And with Andrew Turner, who wants to come out of Europe by all accounts. So you've got to realise that business will take a hit.
Hmm.
We will take a hit. We haven't been at the... Since Andy Sutton had the European Union flag taken down off of County Hall when he came in as leader after the Ireland First, he came in, took that down and said, right, that's it, we don't need to go and talk to Europe. And what have you. We do, we did, and we should, because quite honestly, that's one of the inroads into getting funding. If you note, the northern coast of the Isle of Wight, shall we say, from going round from Shanklin, round through Bembridge Ride, East Cowes, down to Yarmouth, as the area for assisted area status, we have been looked at with the Solent as being an estuary. Now, to me, hold on, we're an island. You don't just have half a piece of land.
Mm.
We should have had island assisted area status, and I'm going to continue to try and strive for it.
Good. Good luck with that. And you know, I'm just looking at the European thing as well. How much of a hindrance is the next couple of years going to be with people hedging their bets on in Europe, out of Europe? Are they going to wait until they do things, clarify things until it's all been made clear? So, you know, the next 2 years, is it going to be a hindrance? Are things going to sort of, you know, roll on down the road, but slowly, just in case?
Look, as far as I'm concerned, I've got an invitation to go to Brussels in a couple of weeks' time. I shan't be going because I can't fit it into what all the other bits and pieces I'm doing. But there will be an Ireland representation because, quite honestly, we need to be at the table. We need to claw back in there and actually start to make the noises that seem to be silent, and the ideas seem to be dormant elsewhere. We've got to revitalise this. We're the only ones who can actually get involved with inclusion and what have you for our island.
Can we expect, though, over the next 2 years, that things, that any kind of progress that's going to be made is going to be much slower, if any at all, because people are worried in Europe, out of Europe, we're a bit concerned what happens, so we're not going to make any decisions now about things?
I think that'd be foolish to do that. We've got to, whilst but we're in it...
Do you think it will happen, though?
There is a possibility.
Which is going to be hampering us, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think we should have the in or out of Europe referendum as soon as possible? Why wait 2 years?
I would like to get that done over, and I think that the Prime Minister would like to get it over and done with as soon as possible. I think the main thing is that people should be fully attuned to what it means for being in and being out. And I think that, you know, understand the subject. As much the same as I've said about the fixed link for the Isle of Wight, in whether it's in or out for the fixed link, for goodness sake, get some debate on it. Don't have an opinion that is actually through ignorance.
Right.
That's my opinion. That's the same with Europe.
Again, when you look at the European thing and the bridge of building a tunnel or whatever, is that going to be put on hold? Because, okay, if we had that and we're still in Europe, there'll be funds for it. If we come out of Europe, there won't be funds for it. So do you see these kind of discussions coming to a shuddering halt or just slowing right up until that decision is made?
I think anything with a link to the mainland would be slower than you'd anticipate, but I think that is down to the amount of money involved and the investment and return on investment that would need to happen. You've got to look at not just a fixed link for ferry traffic, whether it be pedestrian or vehicular, but also freight. You've also got to look quite possibly at communication and water, etc., which could all be done at the same time if someone wanted to go down the route. Now, I haven't said whether I wanted or not. What I've said is let's have the informed debate, because I'm an islander, and I've always said I'm an islander, you know, but I also understand where people are coming from, that if they feel that they want to have a fixed link, get the full facts, and if you don't want a fixed link, get the full facts and let's have the debate.
Okay.
And I always said that I would represent the majority in favour or against. So there we go.
Okay, all right. We just before the general election, a colleague and myself, we did this party political broadcast by the Sensible Party or the Common Sense Party, and we came up with this wonderful idea. And the idea was quite simple, because and it brings us on to the NHS in a mo, because I know there's something that we should talk about as well. But we were saying that there's a prison in Camp Hill that's not being used at the moment. And we had this great idea of, we've got a hospital that is clogged up with people that have no aftercare, or the aftercare is very slow, so they're in the hospital longer, which clogs up the hospital beds. Wouldn't it be great if you could just wheel them across the road into a department that is just up the road in Camp Hill, where you could say, right, okay, now we can have some kind of convalescent home, we can, you know, manage quite a few hundred people. You know, are we singing out of our backsides? Because some of us, I mean, the ordinary average bloke on the street are thinking, right, we've got an empty prison. Well, that's surely, you know, a good idea. And maybe, you know, with all those sales, I know that with a lick of paint and, you know, changing of certain doors, you could even say those people that are homeless, they don't need to be homeless. You know, there's all these sorts of things. So is there anyone, I mean, maybe you need a minister down at the, you know, over the road there, for a minister for radical ideas, or for strange ideas. I mean, how stupid an idea is it?
That's not stupid. In actual fact, it's like everything, isn't it? It bears some gravitas. But the big thing is that it's HCA land now. It doesn't belong to the prison service. It doesn't belong to the Isle of Wight Council. It belongs to the Home and Communities Agency, who actually manage land for on behalf of the government. I would think that if that idea was put to Andrew Turner, perhaps he could take that forward. As you see, it goes outside of the element of Isle of Wight Council. We can support.
Sure.
But the main thing is, and the big thing is, to get a voice in there. Now, what I'd said about Camp Hill, and what I've said about central government, and once again, this was part and parcel of what I was trying to do with the local communities minister and what have you, Greg Hopkins and a few others, was to actually say, give us something. You gave Exeter City the meteorological office. That's worth X million pounds plus a year. I'm talking big. We're talking big bucks. Anything from 17 to 20 million pounds a year onto their economy, because they've got people down there on employment, people working. They've got local people working there as well. Hold on, give us the. Let's take HM Prison Camp Hill and turn that into the Prison Authority for England. Let's put something back into that prison that is Prison Authority, and let's run it. And we take the jobs, we take the admin, we take the other bits and pieces, and they provide some of the top brass. Hold on, that's not a bad idea, is it? They got the, you know, government's already got the prison. Why are we doing it? Why isn't someone asking the question? Why, other than me?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what we've got is a lot of people that have said, yes, they'll do this, they'll do the other, and yes, they'll be the voice every 5 years, or every 4 years. To me, get out there, roll your sleeves up, get and do it. Don't keep on bickering about who's the leader of the Isle of Wight Council. When I was leader, I was fated for a few months, and then I was ill-fated after that, for God's sake. People suddenly thought that I was no damn good. Everyone who sits there is no damn good. My predecessor, David Pugh, was no damn good. His predecessor, Andy Sutton, was. And then, lo and behold, do you remember Shirley Smart? She was no damn good as well. You're there to be shot at. I accepted it when I went in. But if people use their talent and their focus on putting things forward for this island, something might flip into our pockets over here. Something that might be good, something like an extension to the hospital or the homeless, or indeed prison administration. See what we got.
I'm going to write to my MP, and I'm going to put that idea to him and see where we go with it, because I think it's just a different idea from a bloke off the street. And
absolutely.
Okay, if we find out there's a reason why, we'll all find out together and we'll know. We don't kind of shout about the positives on the island. We're too easy to knock the negatives, and maybe when we knock the negatives, that's what holds us back. Yeah. Because there's a lot of positives. We had the guy in from Island Roads, Paul Herbert, a couple of weeks ago, and yes, it's taken a bit of time. But boy, those roads are fantastic now, the ones that have been worked on. And yes, they did have to change the contracts, because the contracts kind of cuff them a little bit. But you know what, the biggest bugbear of mine is that people, they don't have the knowledge. They don't, for some reason, they don't know that there was a contract, and the contract cuffed them into, we got to paint this road before you actually redo the road, or you've got to do it before a certain date. And the amount of people out there that don't know, and then those people go and complain to the council, and they put in PF, what do they put in, FOIs.
Yeah.
And you think, well, what a waste of time, and what's a waste of money, and that's all because they don't know. So one of my biggest bugbears is that people should know, and maybe that's the job of all the island's media coming together and making sure that the people of the Isle of Wight know exactly what's going on, so they can make their decisions, and whenever there's a vote, they can make that vote, and they know damn well what they're voting for, not based on, I mean, you'd be surprised the amount of, I've been banging this drum about the roads.
Yeah.
And the PFI thing, and the actual contracts where they've been cuffed, they are only allowed to do 166 meters square meters. Then they'd have to stop and go to another postcode. That's now been changed in the contract, but people weren't aware. Oh, they've only done half the road. Yes, because the contract said so. It's all changed. But what really annoys me most of all is the people that are so switched off, don't really want to hear what the truth is. The truth is, there are reasons for it, and if you understood the reasons, you'd have a little bit more sympathy and give them a little bit more leeway.
Ian, I voted against the PFI for roads. I thought we could have done it locally with local companies and what have you, but okay, we're doing this. We're doing it under a PFI. We're getting things done. What you've got to realise is that the previous administrations had been earmarked for £3 to £4 million from central government for road maintenance. One year we only spent £250,000 on it. Now that's why the roads were getting in such a state. Central government don't give you money that you don't spend on roads, but you spend on other things because your roads are all right. I know that anyone who's listening to this would know that Ireland, the roads on this island weren't up to scratch when Island Roads took them on, or even when the contracts were being negotiated. I voted against also because I didn't understand what was in the contract. And three of us, and would you believe that one of them was Patrick Joyce? He voted against an independent over in St Helens. And one of them was my good self. And the third one that voted against it is the present leader, Jonathan Bacon, because we didn't know what was in the damn contracts. £6.5 million to £7.5 million was spent on actually negotiating those contracts, and the highways department that were managing that. You remember Jay Jasundra, man who was there? Jay was the man who was heading it and making sure that he had his own department and this, that and the other. I can assure you, I didn't fully understand it. I voted against it. And now this has come home to roost. Remember the old drop curb situation? They weren't included in it for mobility scooters and pushchairs, etc. You know, going from one side of the road to the other. Remember the disabled bays? We had a problem with that. When I was leader, because of the situation and misinterpretation and the handcuffing of certain contracts to our contractors, I put Phil Jordan on that. And as you well know, Phil has done a fantastic job.
Absolutely.
In getting to grips with it, with Paul Herbert and his team up at Island Roads, and hopefully we've salvaged a good way forward.
Well, the thing is, you know, it was signed for, it's done, and now we've got to work with it, so let's make it work, and that's what's happening, which is great news. What I don't like is the fact that it's not out there for everybody to see, or they don't pay attention, or they don't want to ask the simple questions. It's easier to knock what hasn't been done, to knock the negative. So I don't want to harp on too much about that. I want to stick on the NHS, because someone said to me a little while ago that you're having to cut your cloth accordingly and sell off, you know, bits of land and so on and so forth. But NHS, who are also equally struggling a little bit, they've got loads and loads of land as well. And, you know, and yet they're not being told that they have to sell off and live accordingly. So, you know, what's your take on that?
My take is that, you know, we're trying to support the NHS and indeed social care and indeed our general practitioners through the CCG to come together to give a better service or as good a service as we possibly can while saving money. Our diminishing social care budget bears witness to, if you like, trying times for our elderly and trying to keep them in their own home, etc. We've got a situation with St Mary's with possible bed blocking and closure of beds, etc., because they they have to do that to make their efforts balanced fiscally. What we really need to do is look at the amount of land and, if you like, estate that the NHS has, not just on the Isle of Wight, but in this country, to actually turn around and say, well, extra care facilities, such as you mentioned just now, the stepping down facility, why aren't they going out, actually, and building new alongside St Mary's? There's acres of land.
Yeah.
There's acres of land locally, and if they could do that, they would save themselves money. Or is it a question of, okay, you know, we've got rid of them, we're going to pass them over to social care because that becomes under another budget.
It needs addressing. It needs addressing. Yeah.
It needs addressing locally, and I feel sure that the NHS locally will, and when they're giving out their media information, that they would actually turn around and say what they intend to do with that land. Wouldn't it be nice to know what is the NHS going to do with their land and their estates? They've taken on a new understanding or contract with a mainland company to actually manage their estates and finance within that area. It's about time now they came out and said, okay, we've been involved with this mainland company who are actually going to manage our estates, and by the way, this is our way forward. Mm. And we could actually turn around and say, okay, is that on the market? Is that going to be leased out? Are you going to build on there? Are you putting forward a possibility for planning for extra care facilities alongside nursing facilities? Because that's what this island needs, is extra care facilities alongside the nursing facilities to actually step down from the intensive care in hospital to the next step and then back home.
Hey, Ian, we've run out of time, but to me it's all common sense, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But thanks very much for your time. We come back again soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. As soon as. I'm off to Wales next week.
Good luck.
For the Wales Local Government Association National Conference, where I'm once again going to sing the praises of the Isle of Wight.
Good for you, Ian.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.